122, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope there's an attitude of gratitude in your heart this morning. I trust that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving celebration with family, relatives, friends. My wife Sharon and I and Greg and Lisa and their family went to Westminster, Maryland for Thanksgiving at our oldest daughter Amy's home. We had a wonderful time. The girls went shopping. The guys stayed home and worried. No, we all had a wonderful time, and it's just so good to be back here again. If I have not met you, I'm Larry Bird. I was for 33 years pastor at Calvary Baptist Church. Was in Bethlehem, and now it's in Easton. We built a new church almost 7 years ago, right at the corner of Route 33 and Route 22. And a year ago, September, I transitioned after 33 years, and now I'm back at the church on a part-time basis, just helping in visitation, being available to assist in weddings and funerals, and I plan, Lord willing, to go to the mission fields and visit our missionaries. Before I get into the message this morning, I want to tell you about a pastor and his wife. The wife was going to visit her sister, and she asked her husband if he would promise not to look under the bed while she was gone. And he said, well, honey, why would you want me to do that? She said, don't ask any questions. Just don't look under the bed while I'm gone. So he promised that he wouldn't look under the bed. But after about 3 or 4 days, he was so curious. He thought, what in the world could be under the bed? Some Christmas gifts? Something she doesn't want me to see? What? Curiosity killed the cat, and curiosity got to the pastor. So he looked under the bed, and he saw a shoebox. And he thought, what'd she do, buy another pair of shoes? So he pulled the shoebox out and opened it, and it was full of cash and 3 eggs. And he thought, what in the world is this all about? So he put it right back where he found it and hoped that she wouldn't ask if he looked under the bed. So sure enough, she came back home, and she let a week or so go by, and then she said to her husband, honey, did you look under the bed while I was gone? He said, I tried my best. I went at least 3 or 4 days without looking, that I couldn't handle it. But what in the world is this all about? This shoebox filled with cash and 3 eggs. She said, okay, honey, now that you've looked, I'm going to tell you. She said, every time you had a bad sermon, I put an egg in the box. So he thought, well, I guess I haven't done too poorly. Oh, no, she said. Every time I got a dozen eggs, I sold them and put the cash in the box. Well, it is Thanksgiving time, and it's just so good to be together. I want to share with you this morning on the subject of how to cope in a crisis. Hopefully you received a little card when you came in. Did everyone receive one of these, or at least one per family? Did each of you receive one of these? Sometimes I like to put messages on little cards because it helps when I'm counseling people or when I'm just sharing. And so this is one of those cards that I would encourage you to put it in your Bible, and hopefully it will be available to you when you go through a time of crisis. In Psalm 112, especially the last verse that I'm going to read, verse 7, was very, very helpful to me when I went through a very serious crisis that I will share with you a little later in the message. But I want to read the first 7 verses of Psalm 112. And in keeping with Nehemiah, when he would ask the people to stand for the reading of God's word, if you're physically able to stand, would you please stand while I read Psalm 112, the first 7 verses? This morning I'm reading from the King James Version. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man who feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed, or his children, shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and upright. A good man shows favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The upright shall be in everlasting remembrance. And then verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news. His heart is fixed or steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit to make the word come alive to us. So today, Lord, we pray that you will help us to listen carefully to what you have to say. We never know when we're going to go through a crisis, but help us to be prepared when those days come. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. We never know when we will be faced with a crisis. A crisis can come upon us when we're least expecting it. It could be the death of a loved one or a close friend or a relative. It could be a serious illness or an accident, the diagnosis that you were never expecting. It could be a family problem. It could be a divorce or the loss of a job or bankruptcy. A crisis can come upon us at any time. And someone said, if you're not in a time of crisis right now, and you haven't been for quite some time, just hold on, because it will be coming at one time or another. There are difficult times that we all go through in life. I have faced many times of crisis. I'm sure that you and your family have faced many times of crisis. And a crisis is a time of great danger. It can also be a time of turning point. And often it's in the midst of a crisis that God gets our attention and we go, hopefully, in a new direction. Psalm 119, verse 67 and 71 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Did you notice? Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And then verse 71 says, before I was afflicted. Oh, he says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Do you know that God will teach you things when you go through a time of crisis that you would learn in no other way? A time of crisis can be one of the most wonderful things that we ever experience. 3 years ago, this past Friday, which was November the 24th, 2014, we faced a tremendous crisis that was very unexpected. I don't know if you would remember, but the Monday before Thanksgiving, 3 years ago, was an extremely beautiful day. It was very warm, got into the 70s. My brother-in-law, named Leslie Conrad, we called him Zip, lived in Bald Eagle, Pennsylvania, which is right near Tyrone, and he decided that he would go for a motorcycle ride because it was such a beautiful day and fall and colder weather was coming, and he wanted one more ride before he put his motorcycle away for the winter. My wife and I were at the Hanover Eatery on 512, enjoying a meal, when my wife's cell phone rang. And the person on the other end said, could she talk with me? It was my brother-in-law's sister. And she said, Larry, Zip has been in a motorcycle accident, and he was killed. He was 63 years old, had just a few months before retired as a mechanic for the Borough of State College. I thank the Lord that he confessed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Of course, my wife and I went into shock. My wife began to cry immediately. She only has one sister, and this was her husband. We had just eaten our salad, and we asked the waitress if she could pack up the food. We drove home, which is only about 2 miles from the restaurant, packed up our suitcases and headed to Altoona, where my brother-in-law and sister-in-law had lived. It was a time of great crisis. What do you do when you're in a crisis? How do you cope? How do you deal with it? I want to share with you this morning 4 things that I believe are all based on the scriptures, and I hope they'll be implanted in your mind. And when you go through a time of crisis, you will remember these things, or at least you will pull this little card out of your Bible and rehearse some of these key verses. There are 4 points in this message this morning, and the first point is this. When you go through a crisis, turn to the Lord. Immediately, turn to the Lord. Secondly, turn to His Word. Thirdly, turn to God's people. And fourthly, surrender to God's will. Surrender to God's will. So first of all, when you face a crisis, turn to the Lord in prayer. God hears and answers prayer. Immediately when you face that crisis, just immediately let that be your very first response, not your last resort. Cry out to the Lord. Psalm 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not." In Psalm 120, verse 1, the psalmist said that he cried out to the Lord. "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord," or "I turned to the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears." We all have fears, and there are things that come upon us that can just really bring great fear and anxiety into our lives. But when we seek the Lord, He can deliver us from our fears. Psalm 34:6 says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles." God allows us to go through times of affliction, times of crisis, times of trouble, but He delivers us as we call upon Him. My last year at Calvary, basically from the fall of 2015 until the fall of 2016, I had numerous funerals in a very large church. You seem to have funerals continually. But during those fall months, I had a funeral for a young 31-year-old young man who had asthma and apparently had some kind of an attack. 31 years old, single guy, he died. And then shortly thereafter, I had the funeral for a 35-year-old man, someone whose mother came to our church, but he had a problem with alcohol and he was staggering on the road, not real far from here. You probably read it in the newspaper. And he was struck by a car, I think at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and he died, 35. We had a family come to our church that was relatively new to the congregation, an African-American family, wonderful Christian family. They had a 14-year-old daughter who every morning when the alarm would go off, she had the habit of just getting up, turning the alarm off, and getting ready for school. On Monday morning, her alarm went off, and it continued to ring, and the father thought, "That's unusual," so he went into the girl's room. And the girl had died. She was 14 years old. That was a time of crisis for that family. A time for them to call on the name of the Lord. God promises to hear us in the time of trouble. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "And call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." There will come a day of trouble for each one of us. Nahum, the Old Testament prophet, said in Nahum 1:7, he said, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble." Is the Lord your stronghold in the day of trouble? Do you have an anchor that holds when a time of crisis comes your way? Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." He's there for you. Call upon Him. He's there for you. He wants to answer your prayers. Psalm 138:3 says, In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. God will strengthen us. He will be our refuge. Sometimes he's a refuge, a hiding place. And he says, come over here, I will hide you. At other times, he takes you right through the eye of the storm. But he always has something to teach us, whether he's our refuge or our strength. Another time of crisis for our family happened when our oldest son, Nathan, was 5 years old and his sister was 2.5. I had gone to Houghton College, and then I went to Gordon Conwell Seminary in Boston, and after 3 years pastoring a church, a very liberal congregation that truly needed to hear the Word of God, I was called then to Buffalo, New York. So I know what it's like to be in the snow belt. We had 8 winters in Buffalo. Used to get so cold in Buffalo that even the dogs had to use jumper cables to get the rabbits started in the morning. I mean, that is cold. But one day, my wife and I, when we were in Buffalo, New York, decided to go back to the Houghton area, to Letchworth State Park. Maybe some of you have been there. It's a beautiful park. And it was in the fall. The leaves were changing. It was a beautiful day. And we were walking with the 2 children, and they came to some sliding boards and swings. And they were having fun. I was amazed that Amy, only 2.5 years old, would climb this large high sliding board, and Sharon would catch her at the bottom of the slide. But this one time, just as Amy arrived at the top of the slide and was still standing up, her brother Nathan wanted to catch her at the bottom of the slide. But Amy didn't want her brother to catch her. She wanted only her mother to catch her. And so standing like this, she moved her hands for her brother to get away. And when she put her hands out like that, she lost her balance, fell straight down like she was diving in water, and hit her head and her back on the hard-packed ground. I did the only thing I know to do in a crisis, and that was to immediately call on the name of the Lord. I looked at her little body laying on the ground, and I prayed, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And I picked her up in my arms. I didn't know if she had a broken neck, broken back, or what. All I knew is that she was gasping for air and her little eyes were rolling. Some people at a distance were having a picnic, and I said, Sharon, run quickly. See if you can find a nurse. And Sharon went running off. And I kept praying, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. And as I kind of turned to the side, I saw a lady walking toward me. She had dark complexion. She was from the country of Egypt. She had a little girl at her side, and she was walking right toward me. And in desperation, I said to this woman, are you a nurse? She said, no, I'm a doctor. I said, oh, God, I cried out to you to send a nurse, and you sent a doctor. By this time, Sharon came back. I said, Sharon, God has sent us a doctor. Her name was Dr. Zaki. She was doing some special work in a hospital in Rochester, New York, which was quite a few miles, maybe 50 miles or more from that park. In fact, there were no credible hospitals anywhere near there. Some little mom and pop little clinics, but no hospitals. And she kept examining Amy, kept moving her head and checking her ribs. Amy was fine. What we think happened, Amy had a little hooded jacket on, and the hood was down, so we think that when she fell, that padding was almost like a football player's shoulder pads. And of course, she was frightened and had the air knocked out of her, but she had no injuries that the doctor could detect, and nothing that was ever shown up afterward. And this doctor, Dr. Zaki, had a little necklace with a tiny little cross. And I said, Dr. Zaki, are you a nurse? Are you a Christian? And she said, yes, I'm a born-again Christian. Are you people born again? And we said, yes. We held hands with Dr. Zaki. We prayed. We thanked him. We thanked the Lord. We thanked her. She stayed with us probably at least 20 minutes or more. God had sent us a doctor in a time of great need. And Dr. Zaki said something I'll never forget. She said, sometimes God allows us to experience things so that we will experience His mercy. What could have happened but didn't? Do you remember that accident where you saw your life flash before you? And all those events in your life where something could have happened but it didn't? That's an example of God's mercy. I said, Dr. Zaki, there's a verse in the Bible that I think describes exactly what just happened here. It's Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, and it says this, and it shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer, and while you are yet speaking, I will hear. Before Amy ever fell off that sliding board, God had that doctor walking on a path right toward us. When you go through a time of crisis, remember, call on the Lord. You just cry out to Jesus, the most powerful name in the universe, the only name that has the power to save us, not only from our sins, but to save us in times of great need. Call on the Lord. Secondly, turn to the Word of God. Turn to the Word of God. Another time of crisis in my life happened on December the 12th, 1995. We are prone to cancer in my family. Some families have heart disease, lung conditions, and other things. We are 5 for 5 in my family. I have an older brother, younger sister, and myself. All 5 of us have had cancer. After my mother died in 1992, in the fall of 95, I decided I needed another colonoscopy. And so I went to a doctor for a colonoscopy, and the doctor said, your colon looks fine, but I don't like the way your prostate gland feels. It should be soft and rubbery. Yours is kind of hard and has a little bump on it, a little ridge. He said, if I were you, I'd see a urologist, and I wouldn't wait. I said, okay. So we talked for a few more minutes, and then the doctor said, you know, if you'll let me, I'll get you an appointment with a urologist. I said, fine. So he got on the phone and he said, I have a 47-year-old male who needs to see you right away. And I thought, right away? What does this mean? I went for a colon checkup and now I'm concerned. He got me an appointment. I had a blood test, very low, PSA. He did an ultrasound, showed nothing. So the doctor said, well, in December, come back for another visit. So I went back for a visit, and I had pain when he examined me. And he said, I don't think you have cancer, but we need to do a biopsy. I said, okay. So I went to the hospital for a biopsy. He took 6 little snips. He said, call my office. On Thursday morning, I'll have the results of the biopsy. But on Tuesday night, at 7:30 in the evening, the phone rang, and it was my doctor. My son, Evan, answered the phone. Now, when your doctor calls you 2 days early at home in the evening, that is not a good sign. And as I walked to the phone, I'm just very conscious that I need God's grace. And the doctor said, Larry, we got your PSA report back. Now we've got your biopsy. But he said, we found malignancy. And because of your age, you're producing testosterone. He said, I recommend that we do surgery and we don't wait. He said, I want to get you on 2 different drugs to shrink the tumor. Now, ladies, I know what it's like to go through the night sweats. I had female hormones injected into my body to reverse the size of the tumor. I know what it's like to feel it's really, really hot in here when it's really not that hot in here. I said to the doctor, you did 6 snips when you examined, when you took the biopsy. In how many snips did you find cancer? He said, all 6. I tell you, that was a day of crisis. My wife was at the church. I went in my bedroom. I got down on my knees and I prayed. And of course, I asked God for healing. I wanted to raise my 4 children. I wanted to have grandchildren someday. I wanted to finish my ministry. I wanted to travel to the mission fields. But one thing I prayed at the end of that prayer, and I meant it with all my heart. I said, God, there's one thing I want more than anything else in the whole world, and that is your will for my life. I surrender, Lord. I surrender to you. Here's what I experienced. Psalm 112, 7. The one who walks with the Lord, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings or bad news. His heart is fixed or steadfast, trusting in the Lord. And God filled me with peace. I cannot explain it. The Bible talks about peace, which passes all understanding. And all I can tell you is that God gave me peace and even joy. I had one or two people who came to me and said, Pastor, are you telling us the truth? And I said, absolutely. I had tremendous peace. My wife said, yeah, you can have the peace. You can die and go to heaven, but I got to pay the mortgage and raise the kids. So often the caregiver has to go through a time of crisis as well. But my point is this, call on the Lord. And then turn to His Word. Ask God to speak to you through the Word. You see, if you have a daily devotional life, God is showing you these scriptures all along so that when a time of crisis comes, you don't have to scramble for scripture. It's right there. You've memorized it. You've held it in your heart. And you know where it's found. You can turn to it. Psalm 119:50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your Word has given me life." God's Word will give you life. St. Augustine said, when the Scriptures speak, God speaks. Have you ever desired to hear God speak in an audible voice? Do you ever wish God would just speak to you in an audible voice? I think we've all had that desire. I can tell you how you can hear the voice of God and you'll never go astray hearing it. Read the Bible out loud. Isn't this the voice of God? Isn't this the Word of God? And if you read the Scriptures out loud, now don't do it when other people are around. It can be very annoying. I've discovered that when my wife's around, I've got to just read it silently. But when I'm by myself downstairs in my office at our home, I like to read it out loud. I like to whisper it. I like to encourage myself with it. Read God's Word out loud. He'll minister to you. And those scriptures that God has impressed upon your heart, you'll go back to them time and time again in a time of crisis. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Go back to those scriptures that God has given you. God gives stability through His Word. Remember the story that Jesus told of the wise man and the foolish man? The wise man built his house upon a rock. And when the rains descended, and when the floods came, and when the winds blew and blew against his house, it stood fast. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. It had a rock solid foundation. The foolish man, he built his house on the sand. And when the rains came and the winds blew and beat against his house, it fell flat. Be wise. Let the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Let God's Word be in your heart. I get so excited. Some mornings when I get awake, I can hardly wait to get up. I want to get into the Word and see what God has for me today. When I was at Houghton College, I had a man who was 10 years older than me and had worked with the Navigators, a ministry of scripture memory and Bible study. He would meet with me a morning or two every week, and we would study Scripture. We would memorize Scripture. After he taught me and I went on to seminary and was in ministry for a few years, I used to memorize three verses a week until January 1st, 1979. And that day I got so excited about hiding God's Word in my heart. I said, God, I want to memorize a verse a day. A verse a day. And that's been my goal every day since January 1st, 1979. Do I remember them all? Absolutely not. That's why I got to review. You can't remember everything. You just keep reviewing. And some of those things, hopefully, will remain with you. When you go through a time of crisis, turn to the Lord. Secondly, turn to His Word. God will minister to you. And you know what God ministered to me through His Word? In the King James Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, when Peter is giving his introduction, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you." Now, we think of grace as being the greatest thing that we could have, God's love and kindness. But when you go through a time of trials and tribulation, as the people were when Peter wrote those two books, Peter said, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And as I trusted the Lord and believed him and relied upon his word, it was like it was multiplied to me. And it'll be multiplied to you. And thirdly, when you go through a time of crisis, turn to God's people. Turn to God's people. Those Christians that you know and love and those whom you can share your burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if we don't share, others can't bear. We need to bear, at least with a couple of people. I hope you have an accountability partner. Hope you have a prayer partner. Someone you can really call at 3:00 in the morning and say, I'm going through a time of crisis. Would you pray for me? And that person will pray for you. Maybe they'll even get up out of bed and come right to be with you. You need people like that around you. Turn to God's people. All throughout Scripture, it talks about the one another's. Greet one another. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. Minister to one another. The body of Christ should be like a great family where we continually minister to one another. God's people can give us emotional and spiritual support. 2 Corinthians 7:6, Paul went through a very discouraging time. Have you been going through a discouraging time? Sometimes as Christians we get depressed, we get down. Sometimes we don't even know why we're down. But we go through trials and tribulations. And in 2 Corinthians 7:6, the Apostle Paul said, Nevertheless, I'm going through a difficult time, nevertheless, or however, God, who comforts those who are cast down, comforted us, Paul said, by the coming of Titus. God sent a man named Titus across Paul's path to encourage him. God will send people across your path to encourage you. I've had it happen numerous times. When I was in my first pastorate going through this church that was an extremely liberal congregation, I felt all alone so often. So alone. And one day my wife was out and I was really depressed and the doorbell rang. And it was a friend from seminary. He said we were in the area and just thought we'd stop and say hello. God lifted my spirit through that visit. And God will lift people's spirits through you. When someone's on your mind and you can't get rid of them, you just think of them. Don't you think that could be God speaking to you? He wants you to send them an email, call them, send a card, stop by, just say, I was thinking of you. You'll be amazed time and time again where they'll say, I can't believe you called me today. I can't believe you came today. God will minister to you. Several years ago, I went through a real time of depression at Calvary, and I don't know where it came from, but I know where the beginning of its leaving me came. We had a lady in the church. She was very quiet. You'd never hear her give a testimony or pray out loud, but she was one who would do good works. And one day she knocked on my door at the church and had a plate of fresh, warm blueberry muffins. She said, Pastor, I was just thinking of you. Brought these muffins. Do you know that was the beginning of me coming up out of that crisis? My depression, I said, oh my goodness, this is amazing. What muffins could do to lift your depression. You like to make muffins? You think of others and reach out and minister to them. I have a prayer partner, Scott Weldon. He's up at Cherryville at Bethany Wesleyan Church. We became good friends when we were at Houghton College in 1966. We've been prayer partners and accountability partners ever since. And often he'll call me or I'll call him or we'll be in contact. We try to get together once every month. This coming Wednesday, I'll be going to his house. He'll come to my house. He'll come to my church. I'll go to his church and we will pray together and encourage one another. Turn to God's people when you go through a time of suffering and crisis. And lastly, surrender to the will of God. Whenever you go through things, you may not like them. You may not understand them. You may question God. You may say, God, I don't understand. Why me? But ask yourself this question. Why not me? Why me? Why not me? We're human. And we're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to have bad days and times of discouragement, times of affliction, whether it be in our body, our mind, our spirit. We're going to have trials and difficulties. No one suffered more than Jesus Christ. They nailed him to the cross, drove spikes through his hands and through his feet, put a crown of thorns upon his head, cut his side open with a spear. And Jesus suffered emotionally. Think about it. All of his disciples had forsaken him, and they left him. When he needed people around him, they all left him emotionally. He had to surrender that to the Lord. And sometimes your friends will deceive you. They'll leave you. People that you love the most sometimes will hurt you the most. Jesus suffered emotionally. He suffered physically. And he suffered spiritually. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross crying out to the Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? Do you know why God had forsaken Jesus? So that he'll never forsake you. So that he could pay the ultimate penalty for your sins and for my sins. Jesus died for our sins. God had forsaken his son. Habakkuk 1:13 says, the eyes of the Lord are pure, and he cannot look upon evil. When God took your sins and my sins and laid them upon Jesus Christ, he became a curse for sin. And God turned his back on his own son. But God has given us a promise in Hebrews chapter 13. I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that amazing? God gave us a promise he never even gave to his own son. Jesus suffered physically, emotionally, spiritually, but he surrendered. Jesus struggled in the Garden of Gethsemane. 3 times he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And do you know that when you surrender in a time of crisis, that's not giving up. That's doing the most difficult, but the wisest thing you could ever do. Just surrender. Say, Lord, I put this in your hands. I don't understand it, but I trust you're going to bring good out of it. That's what Elizabeth Elliot did when her husband and five missionaries killed January the 8th, 1956, in Quito, Ecuador. They were trying to reach these savage people. They loved them and wanted to bring the gospel to them. And when their little plane landed on the beach, they came out and they speared those missionaries to death. And they laid there. 5 missionaries gone. And Elizabeth Elliot went through much struggle. You can imagine if you lost a loved one like that when you're trying to do so much good for the cause of Jesus Christ. And she went through her struggles. But then she wrote, Through Gates of Splendor. And there she describes being able to put it in God's hands and saying, Lord, there's peace in surrender. And when you and I surrender, whatever that situation is, into the hands of the Lord, we will find peace. Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, said, I would not ask you why these trials come my way, but what is there for me to learn of your great love, I pray. I lay my whys, my W-H-Ys, I lay my whys before your cross in worship, kneeling, my mind too numb for thought, my heart beyond all feeling, and worshiping, I realize that in knowing you, I don't need a why. I just surrender. I want to encourage you. You never know when you're going to go through a crisis. You may be going through one right now. Remember these 4 simple things. Turn to the Lord. Put it in God's hand. Turn to his word. Ask him to speak to you. You will be amazed at how God will speak through his word. Speak to God's people. Find at least a few that you can really trust. Share your burden with them so they can pray with you and help carry your burden. And then surrender the whole situation to God. Just say, God, I put it in your hands. I just trust you. And you will be blessed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time together. And we pray, Father, that you would be honored as we trust in you. I pray today, Lord, that if there's anyone here who has not trusted you as their personal Savior, I pray they'll know that you love them, that Jesus died for them, paid the penalty for their sins, was raised from the dead so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life. And I pray today, Lord, for those who need encouragement, that they will be encouraged. Thank you, Father, for this time, and may you impact our hearts with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And if I could just say...